This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Good morning to you, Chris Carlin. Friday, getting to know your co-host. I think you should be in the captain's chair for that.
I will do that, absolutely. I think there's a lot of things that you would find surprising about me. Like me, for instance, I love candles. I actually have one right here on my desk that I will hold up to the Zoom, and it's called Mantown.
This is DCR.
I love candles in a very tasteful way.
I love candles in a tasteful way.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh my, you are the treat that continues to give. It is DCR, Carlin and Fricanti, 98.7 ESPN. I don't know whether this is a good update or a bad update, but I have an update on Jay Williams. Do you want to know it, or should we just run past this and play like it never happened?
Go ahead.
Apparently he had a plumbing issue.
Well, hang on a second.
I do not know.
I haven't turned on the... Is he on the show this morning?
Yeah, he's there.
He's great, too, on KJZ.
Yeah, he looks fantastic. Of course he's there. Why would he not be there?
Well, he had a plumbing issue.
Well, at 5:30, plumbing issue. 6 o'clock, he's raring to go.
Oh, because plumbing issues are usually fixed within...
No, he had like a 9 to 12 minute plumbing issue, I think.
A 9?
Yeah. A quick plumbing issue. I'm told Friday.
Yeah. Well, maybe I won't show up on Friday.
Oh, here we go.
Maybe I'll
gonna lose. Now we're going to lose Carl
on Friday.
Really? Are you that sensitive?
Dave, I think I have established this week that I'm willing to give people 3, 4, 5 chances.
Yes.
How long am I supposed to take this?
Well, if you want to have a vendetta against Jay Williams, I would understand that.
I think we can establish clearly I'm not the one with a vendetta.
I think that's fair. But for you now to start threatening us and our show, it feels like you should be better.
Oh, no, I wouldn't leave you. I just may, for that 12 to 15 minutes, have a plumbing issue.
Gotcha. I would respect that. If he joins us Friday, if being the key word of that sentence, if he joins us Friday and you say, listen, I can't do it, I have an issue here, I would respect that greatly.
Yeah, I'll go make some toast or something.
Go light the candles around the house.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the incense burning. Time now for Straight
Talk. Very calming.
Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Toast and candles.
There's a candle that smells like toast.
Do you have it?
Yes.
So you can walk around your home smelling toast.
Why would I not want to walk around my home smelling toast?
Why not just
I think
make
that's
toast?
The bigger question.
Why not just make toast?
Does he look like he hasn't made toast?
No.
Well, Dave, it's ridiculous to suggest I could make toast 24/7. First of all, do you think I wouldn't have tried already if I could?
It does it take great skill to put a piece of bread in the toaster oven?
Well, I mean, it doesn't take skill to do that. I don't want to have to do it every 5 minutes for it to smell.
I love candles.
Yeah. So, I love candles.
He doesn't really want to blow up. I have to imagine that toast candle smells delicious, though.
It does.
Yeah.
You knock it.
He's so passionate about the candle.
Dave, I need to find ways to calm what is a less than serene mind. That's all.
I will tell you what. You are one interesting guy. All right. Can we turn our attention to the Yankees and the Mets? Yankees, that is a phenomenal win last night. Montgomery was great. Bullpen is great. Chapman looked like there was a little issue that came out to visit him, but I guess at the end of the day, he was fine. And you beat Tampa at their own game by the final of 3-1. It's a great win for the Yankees last night.
It's a big series. I mean, what the Rays have done to you. I mean, they hit two of them. With what happened with the coaching staff, too, in COVID. I mean, you find out before that game that, I mean,
Nevin,
third
right?
base coach has COVID, and you got the other coaches that are, you know, contact tracing and everything else. And the players decided that they wanted to play, and Montgomery was great. Judge hit a home run, and he's been struggling. Sanchez hit, and Carlin's favorite, Gary Sanchez, hit a home run, made a nice defensive play there in the ninth. But, yeah, I mean, that's a big-time series for them. I mean, Yankees fans look at the series like, okay, enough is enough. Like, they beat us up enough. Like, let's start to turn the tables here a little bit.
Most important thing last night was just find a way to get it. You know, they didn't rip the cover off the ball. They hit two low solo shots and like you said, with the pass ball. But other than that, the fact that they are pitching as well as they are right now when they are not hitting, I think is an incredibly positive development. And just beating them, and now with Cole, here you are with a chance to just take the series, and then maybe, who knows, you could go and get a sweep over them and just reverse course of the whole thing. So I agree that this was a monster win for them. Yep. And if you ever needed evidence that the strikeouts in the game are just way too out of control, Jordan Montgomery striking out, what, he finished nine?
Nine? Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, you know, he's throwing the ball 83 miles an hour.
Yeah, no, he was certainly dealing last night. Here's the Yankees manager, Aaron Boone. How important was that win for your team?
Starting an important road trip for us. I thought the focus of the guys was really good going into the game. You know, obviously this is a team that's played us really tough over the last year and the first part of this year, and being a division rival to get off to a good start on the trip and really play well was nice to see.
Yeah, I don't even think he makes it as big as that is. That's it. I mean, the Yankees fan, and rightfully so, is just so bothered by the fact that the Rays own them, and they have for a long time now. And that's an important game, and now you have Cole, and now it's all set up, and Judge with a big hit, and Sanchez with a big hit. That's a really big win for the Yankees last night.
Yeah, and I think, again, too, I mean, the Yankees haven't really started hitting yet. I mean, the bottom of their lineup is not very good. It isn't. I mean, you look at the averages, it's not good at all. But, I mean, for me, the most important thing right now has been the pitching and how good the starting pitching has been. Because, again, I mean, going into the season, at some point we expected that offensively they're too good. They'll find a way to start hitting. At least the guys that you're relying on, like LeMahieu will hit, Judge, like those guys will find a way to hit. Right? We felt good about that. Mm-hmm. Bullpen is one of the best bullpens in baseball. You saw that again last night. But, I mean, the starting pitching to be as good as it's been and as consistent as it's been, I mean, we're talking about a big chunk of games now, too. I think this is like the last 21 games, how good the starting pitching has been. Because, I mean, you remember the beginning of the season, that was the conversation.
Not only that, Rick, not only was the starting pitching not great, but they were giving you like, you know, 4 1/3. So you're relying on the bullpen so much.
Yeah. And if you took Cole out of that mix, I did the numbers probably about 10 days ago. If you took Cole out of that mix, they were averaging exactly that, Dave. 4 1/3,
really?
Per start.
Oh, how about
yeah.
that?
And it was alarming what it was. But there is something that I'm very curious about this year when you look across baseball. And we've been here before, Rick, where we say things like, all right, they're going to break out of it at some yep. point. They're going to put up massive numbers at some point. When you look at the way it is across the game right now, is this a year where maybe you can say about anybody that they're not guaranteed to break out of it? Because there have been the approach across the game is so different, and the ball is clearly not flying as much, that maybe this is a year where it actually doesn't happen, where they become the offensive juggernaut that they expect to be.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily even mean a juggernaut. Like, that's not necessarily what I mean. I just mean even like, I mean, LeMahieu, good example of this, right? I mean, what he's done first 2 years of the Yankees, runners in scoring position, best in Major League Baseball. Like, he hasn't been the same with runners in scoring position. He struggled. I think he's 100 points less with runners in scoring position. Like, mm-hmm. those are things I think can improve. Well, are you going to have the big-time power numbers with this new baseball? Maybe not. Maybe it ends up being, you know, pitching that's what's going to win the day. Because, again, Major League Baseball can't get out of their own way. They change the baseball and not realize the unintended consequences of changing the baseball is it's going to move more, which makes it tougher to hit, so there's going to be less offense. Not just less home runs, less actual offense, because the ball's moving all over the place. Good old Major League Baseball. Ridiculous.
They're always trying to just reinvent the wheel. And can't get it right. It seemed like they just go to extremes on both ends of it.
That's right. Can we have some middle ground, please?
Yeah. It shouldn't be this difficult for that to be the case.
To answer your question, I could be wrong, and I know it's a larger sample size now at this point. I still believe when the weather gets a little warmer and the Yankees play the lesser teams and you face the lesser pitchers, that the offense, it has to be better than it is now.
Well, I don't expect them. I think they will pitch at a better level than maybe I would have expected, because I had zero faith in Corey Kluber. Zero. And he has finally come around for a couple of good starts. But, I mean, even before the season. And I, frankly, had zero faith in Taillon with two guys that hadn't pitched in 2 years. But if they are going to pitch like this, then you're not going to have to worry about it as much. I don't think they're going to be like this. I certainly don't think it's going to be 5 and 6 hits a night. But I'm wondering, I don't feel like maybe the massive offensive explosion where they just expect to thump teams over the head with the offense is going to come this season.
Yeah, but I don't think it needs to be that, though, Carlin. I don't think it needs to be this humongous, massive, offensive explosion. Yeah. If everyone in the league is struggling to hit, the Yankees will struggle to hit too, but that still doesn't mean they shouldn't be at the top of the heap with the amount of talent that they have.
And they will be. You're not saying, Chris, that you don't think the Yankees win this division comfortably, right?
No, I'm not saying that. Absolutely not.
Right. They're going to win this division, and they're going to win it comfortably. And the Red Sox lose again last night. You beat the Rays, so things are starting to turn for the Yankees. Remember how bad it was? What are they now, a game out of first place? So it looks like they've righted the ship, whether it's with pitching or offense or whatever the case may be.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
When Pilar's ball went foul last night, I was like, oh, that was their chance. Now it's done. Now they're going to lose. But to their credit, Conforto with a big hit, Dom Smith with a big hit, and the Mets get out of that game with a win last night. I was very pleased with that.
You should be. That was, first of all, a terrific performance by Stroman yet again. I was one of the people that kind of knocked the acquisition when they went to get him, because he always struck me as somebody that was, he just looked better from the outside than he actually was. In talking to people that watched him pitch all the time. So to watch what he's done here has been remarkably impressive this season in particular. And, it's funny. I thought at one point when, he came out of the game, he does little things that will annoy you. Like he'll march up and down the dugout when they took him out of the game. And you could tell if you're listening to Ronnie at that point that, like, he didn't love that. He's putting up a big scene about getting taken out. But, you live with all that stuff considering how well he's pitching.
Yeah, he's pitching great. And, I mean, it's something to be said, too, when you're pitching for a contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's pitching for that next big contract. But to your point, Dave, yeah, I mean, you can't help but feel that way. Like, once that ball goes foul, you're like, oh, man, that was it. But, again, he's been good. Pilar's been good. I mean, why is he leading off opening day?
Shut up.
And by the way, timeout. Have you ever seen in your entire life? They almost should have just changed the rule and called it a catch. Anyone run into a wall?
Oh my God! I mean, it's as if he didn't know there was a wall out there in center field.
He didn't care.
I mean, I felt awful for him. He that was as hard a collision into a wall as I've ever seen.
The only two that came to mind besides that was Nimmo. A couple of years ago, or whenever that was, when he ran into the wall in center field, it was like face first.
Mm-hmm.
And very similar to that one last night. And then, Dave, I don't remember specifically who it was, but wasn't there a Met, or maybe it was a Philly, who ran into that chain link fence?
Yes,
of Rollers
it was in Philadelphia.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't it
ran
Aaron
into
Rowan?
That, and that was pretty bad.
Aaron Rowan, that's right. Yeah. And he broke
Aaron
his nose.
Aaron Rowan, good call.
And he broke. You remember when they used to do Spanning the Globe? With Marv Albert. There was one guy in minor league baseball. I don't know if you remember this. He
ran through the fence.
The wall.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
That was a wooden fence.
And literally he ran through the wall. That's what it reminded me of last night. That was vicious.
He looked like he got his clock cleaned.
He was full speed. At no point did he slow down going to make that catch.
No.
But he said that, though. Remember when he made that great leaping play at the wall?
Yep.
And he said, once I go back and make up my mind that I'm going to catch the ball, nothing's going to stop me. And he caught it. It's just he ran into the wall so hard it fell out of his glove.
It's like the safety knocked it out. But, I mean, you're right. I mean, that was tremendous effort. And to have no care in the world that you're going to take a shot like that is, I mean, that's all, that's why he's the kind of defensive center fielder he is, I guess.
It's impressive that, that you can do that and just have zero fear whatsoever. I am a little tired of Francisco Lindor bunting. That's getting a little old.
I don't mind that as much.
Huh?
See, I don't mind that as much for some reason. I appreciate when guys like Francisco Lindor, I know people don't want to see it, but Francisco Lindor's like a, he's a baseball player, man. Mm-hmm. Like he's capable of doing anything. Like he's great defensively. He can run. He can steal bases. You need him to hit for power. He can hit for power. Well, he's having a hard time hitting anyway, but if he needs to bunt, he can bunt. Like that stuff for some reason doesn't bother me as much as I know it bothers other people.
I was actually surprised that he didn't bunt later in the game to move a runner over, to tell you the truth. I'm trying to remember the exact spot where they had a runner on second and had him up. And it was still a 1-0 game at that point.
And listen, I hate to kill, like yesterday too, like we get into this where it's like the Mets are in first place. They just won their, sixth game in a row.
That's right.
Yeah, and it feels like we start going down to negative town.
But no, don't go to negative town.
No, like yesterday, like I don't mean to do it, but like you bring up something like, you're not putting DeGrom on the IL once he initially hurt himself. And like he's fielding P with inflammation in his lat, he's jumping around, which are all probably things you shouldn't be doing. And then he goes and gets hurt again. Like, and then all of a sudden you kind of take this turn to like, oh, here we go, same old Mets. And it's like, well, maybe they'll figure it out. And then last night, they can't help themselves. Jeff McNeil leaves the game with full body cramps.
It's a lot of cramping.
That's what we're going with? Full body cramps?
Full body cramps. He leaves the game.
But that's a new one. It was a brain cramp is what it was.
Oh, it was mind-boggling is what it was.
Do you think it was one of those situations where, like, he kind of realized, what the hell did I do? Oh, maybe I should just pull up.
I'm cramping.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there it is. Full body.
Yeah, the full body.
What hurts? Everything.
Everything. Everything. Where do you feel it, Jeff? Everywhere. What do you think it is? Cramps. It's the cramps.
It's like when you miss a tackle badly and you stay on the ground. Oh.
But again,
I actually had that full body.
That's a great win. It really
is.
It's
a huge win.
Yeah, what is a full body cramp, Rick? You had it?
Oh, dude, I'll never forget. It was one of my first professional games, and the guys were passing around this like bottle of pills before the game, and I'm like, "What are you guys taking?" Because like in college, they have like caffeine. Like you take like caffeine pills, like to get you like, because we wouldn't drink coffee. Like we wouldn't realize that drinking coffee was like a thing until like you all of a sudden you turn pro and like everyone's drinking coffee. So that's when it started. So they're all passing around these pills. I'm like, "What are you guys taking?" They're like, "Why? You want one of them?" I said, "Yeah, I'll take one." I said, "Just one?" They go, "Depends on how you want to play." I said, "What does that mean?"
"Oh, God.
Well, you want to play good or you want to play great?" I was like, "What do you think? I want to play great." So they give me two or three of these pills. First period, I'm unbelievable. Like, I'm out of my mind. Like, saves everywhere, glove saves, like, full of energy. Second period, same thing.
He's sleeping in the third period.
Third period starts. Puck drops in the third period. I go down kind of like, on my... to rest my arms on my legs, and my whole body goes into a giant cramp. Like, I can't stand up. Like,
and
I'm stuck in the
Jeff McNeil had last night.
I'm stuck in the one position.
And now you know what Jeff McNeil was dealing with last night.
They had to take me off the ice.
How about this, by the way?
Push me off the ice.
Carlin, how about this? John Heyman tweets last night. I don't know if you saw this. Mets tried to trade for John Means in the winter following his ups and downs of 2020. Orioles showed no interest in dealing him. How good would he look in a Mets uniform?
How good? I mean, wow. I never thought this guy was going to be like this. I mean,
he's terrific.
Yeah, he really is. And look, he's been the no-hitter, and then last night, just as sharp as he was, it's fantastic to see an actual Oriole pitcher who's capable of getting people out. That's a nice little change of pace.
Yeah, no, he's terrific. And I like what the Mets did last night. In forcing the hand of Baltimore by walking the eight batter and then putting Means in a position where he'd have to hit with one out and the bases loaded. Mm-hmm. They take him out. You would have traded it in a heartbeat if you're the Mets. Get him out of the game. They get the one run, and now you have three innings against their bullpen. And they could not give you three innings of good bullpen last night.
Now, let me ask you this, though. Would you have stayed with Stroman in that spot, or would you have gone to Loop? Because you had... Stewart, who had the bad hamstring, and Stroman, who's a ground ball guy,
right.
Versus what they did with Pazika.
And I think
whatever the guy's name is.
Typically, I'm pretty adamant about decisions. I didn't feel really strongly one way or the other. They went with Loop. I thought that was fine. If they would have stayed with Stroman, I think that would have been fine as well.
I was kind of indifferent about it too, but Ronnie brought it up, and it was such a big point for him. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. I would not have normally you're just thinking in terms of righty lefty at that point, but I hadn't even factored in that Stewart had the bad hamstring, and you're trying to, you know, get him to ground out with Stroman on the mound, who ended up, I think, with something like 10 ground balls last night.
He was excellent. I mean, he got into trouble in the first with the error from VR, and then, you know, they got out of that with a little, you know, little roller back to him.
I think that's an underrated part about him, is that when he gets into those jams, he does a great job to get out of them.
You know what it is? That he's, and you can watch him, he's a great athlete.
Yeah. Oh, the way he springs off the mound to field the baseball. I mean, the play he made coming home. And then I almost thought when McCann misplayed that ball and ended up, well, not misplayed, but juggled it, and it ended up being that little tapper out in front of the plate, that Stroman wanted to field it because he felt like he had a better chance of getting the runner at third.
He probably
did. As opposed to McCann, who juggled it but did get the out at first.
Now, we wax poetic, and we'll get to the calls in a second, 800-919-3776. We wax poetic and continuously about how great this Yankees bullpen is. This Mets bullpen has been sensational, really. I mean, May is a guy that you believe in now. All of them, up and down. Familia pitched well last night for the most part. Diaz has been much better this season. Loop is a guy that I think you're starting to trust now. So I'm not saying they're in the category of the Yankees pen, but knowing what we've known, Chris, about the Mets pen the last couple of years, this is a much better situation right now.
Much better. And to me, it's not even about May and Loop, because they have been that. And May coming over, you kind of expected him to be that, right? It's been more about Diaz, who I know didn't pitch last night, but he's been so good, and about Familia just being better. And with Diaz, let's face it, there's a ton of work for him to do before he's ever going to fully regain the Met fan trust, and you understand why. But I do think he deserves a lot more credit for what he has done. I think last year just kind of got washed aside a little bit, Dave, from the Met fan, because it was just kind of a nothing year all the way around. But Diaz was much better, and now you're starting, even though there's been one or two hiccups, you're really starting to see the guy that they thought they were getting.
You know who gets a pass last night because they did win? But Alonso was not good in big spots last night. Right?
He was not. He was not.
But you know what? You win, and it makes all the bad moments go away.
Mm-hmm. Everybody feels good.
Yep.
And look, Rick's right. The Met fan should absolutely be able to enjoy the fact that they've won six in a row right now without the little things that are coming up to that you just, for whatever reason, they annoy you more with the Mets than they do with perhaps your other teams.
Because they've done it for so long. So yeah. You're kind of ingrained for that to bother you to no end. 800-919-3776. Carlin, how about this? The phone lines already all lit up for Stump Rothenberg at 6:45.
Well, people enjoy the notion of potentially making you look bad.
I agree that in fact is the case.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
This is why I love the Wednesday. Now, why do you like the Wednesday? This is why I like the Wednesday, right here.
Okay.
Stump Rothenberg.
See, I got you doing voices now.
Why do you like the Wednesday?
Turns into Frank Caliendo all of a sudden.
By the way, I have lit my Mantown candle, and I figured out what it smells like.
A scrotum? What does it smell like?
Patrick Mazika.
Smells like Fielder's Choice walk-offs is what that smells like.
That's right. He hasn't hit the ball out of the infield, yet the guy has two walk-offs already.
Going to shoot skeet after the game.
How great, by the way, and this will get buried the entire day, but not on this show. How great was that base running by VR on that play?
Oh, dude. Oh, I had it written in my notes.
How great was that?
Even the slide at home was great.
It wasn't even close, that play.
He heads up, and I thought he would drive me crazy. And I remember telling you this. When we did the tailgate, and we were sitting there a little bit banged up, and I was in the trust tree in the nest with you, and VR would drive, he for some reason, would drive me crazy. Because you'd always have like a mental lapse during the game where like, he'd get picked off or something stupid, and then they signed him. I'm like, oh, no. If this happens with the Mets, I'm going to lose my mind. He's been great.
He's been terrific. I mean, the base running last week when the ball was in short right and they were just kind of almost like Carlin, like kind of just glaring at the wall, and he just decided to go home. And then last night, he's a fun player to watch, and he adds a different element that the Mets haven't had.
You know what he has a feel like? One of those role players that gets added to a winning team. One of those guys that just finds a way to do a really, really good job in what he does.
Carlin, in all honesty, he would be exactly what the Yankees are lacking right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. Absolutely true.
Because Tyler Wade can't hit. Like, Tyler Wade's supposed to be that player, but he can't hit enough.
He cannot hit to save his life.
Let's go to Danny, Long Island. Good morning, Danny. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, men. Good morning, everybody. First of all, I have to congratulate Chris. My mother would say, when you come into a party, walk into a room lightly. Chris comes into the guest seat, and he storms the building like he's Sherman going to Atlanta. I mean,
no, he's like the Kool-Aid guy, Danny. He comes like the Kool-Aid
Chris
man.
Chris Canty averaged about 6 words an hour from the 5 to 6 hour. You know, barely knew he was in the building sometimes. I'm sitting here drinking my coffee. He would just say something.
He wasn't. So the blood times he wasn't.
Well, maybe that's true. Yeah. Chris, yeah, I love him. I love him in the evening. I can't get enough of Chris because he's a different flavor. I got to love him. By the way, the base running last night was proof that tremendous slide. You do not have to be fast to be a good base runner because he had the proper lead. He had the proper secondary lead. He read the play. He was gone on contact, and he had a great slide. So 90% of baseball is half mental, as Yogi Berra once said. You don't have to be, you know, a speedster. You got to read the play properly, react to it, and it was a great slide. And then, of course, they had to tear the guy's shirt off on the field. He's got scratches that are bleeding. I mean, it's a little much for like game 27. Of the, you know, come on. These are million-dollar ball players that weren't about COVID.
But you know what, Danny, if they do nothing, now they're just a bland, boring team, and they show no energy and no excitement, and then they act like that, and you know what, act like you've been there before. There is no winning with some people.
Let's call it what it is, though. He's got a fantastic body.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous, pasty white.
Oh, pasty white, nice love handles, just, I tell you.
But he's the everyman.
That is the everyman right there.
He is the everyman.
Yeah.
He just spits in the face.
He could be hitting. He could be getting a walk-off on a little dribbler on the infield, or he could be nailing in shingles into your roof. He could be either
guy. There's something to be said, though, man. I'll never forget, when I first turned pro, there was this whole mindset in with physical fitness that if you tested over 10% body fat, you were in fat camp. And you would have to ride the bike after practice until you were less than 10% body fat. And now they realize, well, if you're less than 10% body fat, you're more prone to injury. So that like that whole mindset has changed now, where they like you. I mean, there's a certain like sweet spot. I think it's like 13% body fat or whatever it ends up being. Which could be part of the reason. I can't even imagine what your body fat is. Wait, oh. Like,
do you have any idea what it is, Carlin? By the way,
No. BMI at last check was does not register.
BMI, lacking muscle. Lacking
your body
muscle.
Mass index. Listen, I've been trying to tell you for years, you don't exercise, you don't get hurt. And I'm as healthy as can be.
That's becoming more and more the case, though. I mean, that really is a part of the reason I think guys like Stanton and Judge get hurt as much as they do.
Judge looks at me and says, what was I doing wrong? I was working out.
He could probably use some of that fat, in all honesty.
You're the poster boy for what the major league players should be moving towards.
Dude, we had a guy, Dave, we had a guy on our team that was just, ugh. Like, he makes Mazika look like a Calvin Klein underwear model.
Really?
This body was, like, to the point where guys would rush into the shower just to get a look at it because it was that.
Was it repulsive or was it just odd?
Dave, it was a little bit of both, but like, he had his butt cheeks looked like a golf ball, like with dimples, like cellulite dimples.
Really? So oh, this guy yeah. was fat.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was not. Yeah, it was troubling.
You don't see a lot of fat hockey players, do you?
Fat hockey? No, not really. No.
Yeah, no.
I don't know how you could be.
Yeah, with the amount of sweat and everything else. Yeah.
Yeah, you probably lose. I mean, during a game, you probably lost 5 pounds of sweat easy, right?
12.
Really?
12 was the norm?
Yeah, I would fluctuate. Yeah, I used to sweat a ton, though. And that's what changing all my stuff in, but like changing all my like my under stuff in between periods.
Right.
Like I had to drill holes in my skates, Dave.
To let the water out?
Yeah, because before I started doing that, like I'd take my skates off after games and you could dump like
that is
dump the sweat out of your skate.
Cow. That is unbelievable. Can we go to Lonnie now?
I would love to go to
Lonnie. Lonnie in Harlem. Good morning, Lonnie.
Good morning, family. Good wins for the New York baseball teams last night. Clutch winning streak for the Mets and a solid win for the good guys, my Yankees. That defensive play and home run by Sanchez was awesome. He definitely needed that. The Knicks, they just fell short of a clutch victory. I also believe the Lakers kind of needed that win, too. I'm sure Canty slept very well last night, seeing how the Yankees and the Lakers won. Uncle Colin, I'm happy to hear that you got a little loose yesterday. Monday, you was a little buttoned up. Don't worry, Uncle Rico goes free range, so you can be half-naked, chips on the chest, Uncle Carlin. Dave, quick question. Did you give Case any lurking tips yesterday?
Apparently, Michael has issues worse than me, I'm told.
Yeah.
He went full Son of Sam yesterday on the show.
I mean, wow. I was listening, and I'm like, geez, he make Dave look like nothing. I mean, what you said was bad, but what he was doing and saying was terrible. But I mean, Carlin, you kind of canceled Cousin Dave's storytelling time. I was going to ask Cousin Dave if he can please tell the story about him throwing the remote out the window when he lived in the city and the cops had to come upstairs and give him a firm talking to. Hopefully that can get done after.
You know what, Lonnie, which is amazing to me, too, because this is the same guy that will every single day when we used to go back to when we were in the city, we'd walk from the parking garage to the office and some lady would throw bread out of her like third story window for the pigeons. And he would have a nervous breakdown.
Disgusting. I mean, she didn't need to throw bread onto the streets and have these pigeons attacking us.
I mean,
you almost killed somebody with the remote. It's only bread crumbs.
Kill anybody
exactly.
That you know of.
But family, as my Uncle Rico, who once woke up in his dress socks in an older lady's bed, once said, I've done what I came to done. Love you guys.
Thank you.
She made delicious breakfast, though.
I've done what I came to done.
You can hear, like, we're doing a segment, and he's eat like, Carlin, listen to him. He's mouth full of mango. Listen to this.
I've done what I came to done.
Like, would you?
Because I got a mango in my mouth.
Would you do that? Like, and you're a man that likes to eat. Would you? I mean, we're mid segment.
I never eat on the air because there's a good chance that, and I'm not being funny here when I say this, there's a good chance I'm going to choke and die if I do that. I'm not joking. I swear to God. Because, like, if I put some chips in there, like, and I, you know, hit the mute button on my mic, there. Like, I have that fear that that's going to happen.
Could you imagine choking,
yes.
Doing a solo show, and the entire world gets to hear you die?
Have to pull out the life vac on the air, trying to suck the chip out.
You're in your home studio. The producers are back at the station. You put a chip in. You come back from break. You start to choke.
My wife has closed four or five doors in the house to make sure she doesn't have to hear me.
That's right. Candles are lit all over the place, and now you are slowly dying, literally, on live radio.
Well, listen, you go out leaving them wanting more, that's for sure.
And then you get the text message from Hurley, Dave. Why would you let Carlin die on the air?
Carlin's dead. Carlin's dead. Can you fill in starting at 8:30 today? Or you know what would happen? I'd get blamed for it. How could you let Carlin die live on the air?
This is your fault.
Yeah.
You know you can't let Carlin eat on the air. He could choke to death.
Yeah. He should know better. And you should know better. And you should have talked to him before that and told him that he can't eat live on the air.
That would be, I mean, you'd never forget that.
No, you wouldn't. Where was I when?
Be good for ratings, Chris.
Carlin died on the air.
It would be great for ratings.
Great.
I'm trying to imagine what those sounds would be like.
I bet you get a promo out of it.
Yeah, I probably would. Call Brouncher. What are the first?
Right? One final promo? Swan song.
Promo for the send off show.
Yeah, that's right. The big
say
goodbye.
Say your final goodbyes as he did.
Yeah, and then we could do like a 98.7 memorial.
Carlin choking to death brought to you by Bathfitter.
Yeah, that's right. If your parents are coming for a visit.
Yeah, by the way, you're single and you live in New York City, and that's what you're concerned about when you're redoing your bath? you know, when my parents come over and stay, got to be safe.
Don't you find that a little odd that his parents bathe in his bathtub?
Well, where else would they bathe? He's only got one. I'm sure that's the only place to bathe. We're going to
bird
bath in the sink?
They take a bath?
No, I think it's a shower slash bath. I don't think they take bubble baths.
I think they use candles.
I think they might. Do you want to hear Kay and his really odd lurking story from yesterday?
I do, because I got in on the back end of listening to it, and I didn't hear the whole thing. So,
and just to show you how unfair Rick is going to be, all I said was I was lurking over Diana's social media, and I saw that she got married, so congratulations, and they freaked out. Did you at all take it in a negative light that I asked and was pleased and congratulated you on your nuptials? So there's Diana, who played Diana, it up. I have been lurking, played it up beautifully. All right, listen to Michael from yesterday and his lurking.
All right, so you had some kind of a shot of her and her dog.
Correct.
And you also had her handle.
Right.
I started to go down a rabbit hole, and I'm quite impressed. Let's just leave it at that. I went to her site. Her Instagram page, and I started to peruse the many pictures she has up.
Diana,
let me just tell you something.
Lurking.
Wow.
Wait, hold on, but real quick. Hold on. Natalie is a renowned photographer, and most of her page are just incredibly impressive photos of New York.
There's pictures of her, too.
So just to be clear, I've seen
New York before. Yeah. Kind of lived here my whole life.
Empire State Building, swipe. Central Park, swipe.
Bikini, stay.
Don, I got to tell you, he has surpassed Dave Rothenberg.
This is not even close of what he's doing.
I tell you what, Dave, I think you can sleep well tonight.
Yeah. Head right on the pillow and I can conk right out. Kay has some real issues, huh? I like to nap.
Lurking is a tough word.
Yeah, I mean, at least he manned up and said what he's doing. I mean, you would lurk.
Oh, here we go.
As if you were only focused on the wedding pictures.
Because if you didn't have him defending Kay here, Carlin, you were way off base.
No, but now that I think about it, maybe he's right because he's being a little bit more upfront about it.
Diana Russini. Diana, I have been lurking, not strangely, but lurking
on
social media. And I know
there's never been an appropriate lurk ever.
So congratulations to you. You know what? You're both
the definition of
people.
Lurking is like an ominous is something
online
ominous.
Lurking is there's nothing wrong with it. I looked at her social media page.
It's a step away from stalking.
No,
is what it
stop
is.
Stop it. Stop
I mean, isn't,
it.
Isn't if I'm not mistaken, isn't lurking in the criminal code as an actual crime?
No, it's not a crime. Not social. Not looking at her Twitter feed.
No. But I'm just saying, like, if you lurk in an area too much,
if I'm lurking outside of her home, yes, that's odd. If I'm lurking on her social media page, you know what? Yeah, you're just like Candy. It doesn't matter. Rick will bring anyone into his little reign of terror and make fun of me, and that's fine. But Kay does it, and at least Kay was upfront and honest about it. Look at Michael. Michael does it Michael stalks and lurks in a wonderful kind of a way. You know what? I'm done with both of you.
Loitering, I think, is the word I was looking for.
Yes.
That's lurking.
Done with both of you. You know what? It's my time to shine. Stump Rothenberg. Online lurking. There's nothing wrong with it.
He's confident.
I have so much knowledge.
He's arrogant.
I'm a big star, you know.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You don't think I'm smart?
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
All right, now let's settle in. Stump Rothenberg, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Carlin, welcome.
Thank you.
To Stump Rothenberg.
Good to be here.
All right, let's start out with how we always do and bring in Andy in Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. What's up, Drive Time?
Hello, Andy.
Dave, I don't know if you know this, but the Islanders are back in the playoffs.
Yes.
Oh, God, here we go.
I'd like to call him to jump back on the bandwagon. Plenty of salty treats for him.
I don't think you want that.
Yeah, you don't want that.
39, work on him for me.
I will. By the time the playoffs start, he'll be an Islander fan.
All right. Here we go, Dave. Islanders playoff question.
All right, you're going. All right, Rick, you're going to answer this one. Go ahead. Islanders playoff trivia. Have at it.
I thought it was Stump Rothenberg.
Can you name
it is, but it's going right in Rick's wheelhouse.
Can you name the Islanders legend
who holds the record with 4 overtime postseason goals.
I mean, Bossy's such an easy one. Nystrom, of course, with the famous one. Rick, do you know this?
I do. I refuse to help you.
Four postseason overtime goals.
Organization record.
So it could be Bossy, could be Nystrom.
Could be LaFontaine.
It could. It's a good one. I'm going to go with Bobby Nystrom. Final answer.
And you would be correct.
Yes, David.
Welcome. Welcome, Chris Carlin, to Stump Rothenberg.
One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet in your life, too.
Bobby Nystrom, really?
Oh, one of the greatest guys ever, yeah.
All right. Rick, would you like to show Carlin how it's done here?
I would love to partake, David.
Okay.
Because you like the topical questions, right?
I do.
Okay. So, Russell Westbrook just recently set the record for most career triple doubles, surpassing one Oscar Robertson. Mm-hmm. So, my question to you, my friend, is which three active NBA players outside of Russell Westbrook, so take him out of this equation.
Okay.
Which three active NBA players currently are in the top 10 in NBA history in triple doubles?
Jokic, LeBron, Harden. Final answer.
That's not even a tough question for you now?
No.
Correct.
No. And I'll tell you how I knew this. Because in preparation for today's Stump Rothenberg, I went to the most triple doubles in NBA history and did a little studying yesterday and put that to memorization. So thank you for being topical. And yes, I was very well prepared for that.
Wow.
Very well prepared. Chris, are you wowed yet?
I mean, you read Rick like a book there. You knew, it's almost like you knew it was coming, so Rick, I think you're going to start changing it up a little bit.
Chris, now I'm going to leave this up to you. Would you like to play right now, or would you like another listener or two to chime in, and then we go to
you?
Why
don't you give a listener a chance, and then I'll give you mine. Mine will be Giant-related, just so you know.
I do appreciate the Giants. Let's go to Chris in Bethpage. He loves Stump Rothenberg. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Yeah, and I love the show, as you know. All right, so we all know that Neil Armstrong was the first person to walk on the moon. Who was the last person to walk on the moon?
Ooh, that's a good one. Last person to walk on the moon.
Kulani Sutaki.
No. Now, was it that Apollo 17? I think it might have been.
I've always been told not to give you any help. Ty always gets mad at me.
I'm talking out loud. I think, so Apollo 17, is it? Oh, God. It's a weird name. I don't know. It's like, I'm not going to remember his name, but I think it was Apollo 17. Jernan or something like that? I don't know. It's like Gene Jernan, but I'm not 100% sure of his name, so I'll take the L on this one.
All right, you know what, Dave? I'd like to give you credit on it because you're so close, so I'm going to give you credit on it. It's Eugene Cernan, Cernan. So I'm going to give you credit. Good job.
I technically didn't get it right, though.
You let her off. Let her off. Close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm confident it was Apollo 17. All right, Carl, you ready?
Would you eat the moon if it were made of ribs?
You want me to take another one or two here? It's up to you.
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right, go ahead.
Dave.
What's your topic?
The New York Football Giants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dave, as you know, they have made 5 appearances in Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Accurate?
That's right. 4-1.
Dave, who won the toss in each of the 5 Super Bowls? Who won the coin toss in each of the Giants' 5 Super Bowls?
Wait, you want me to run through each one?
Well, I'm not going to ask you just one. It is Stump Rothenberg, right?
Yeah, He's opened the door to get, this is a terrible question. I see this headed.
Oh, yeah, no, I've heard him on Saturday, like, this is a terrible question. Nobody can get this. I'm walking away. Next. It's not really Stump Rothenberg. It's Rothenberg dodges the tough ones.
I'm going to say, oh, this is a terrible question, by the way. I'm going to say,
let's take them one at a time, Dave.
I'm going to say Super Bowl 21, the Broncos won the toss.
Okay, correct.
All right, the Giants got the ball to start the second half of Super Bowl 25 because they went on that long drive. But the question is, did the Bills want the ball?
It's a 50-50 question.
I understand. I'm thinking. I'm going to say the Bills wanted the ball, and I'm going to say the Bills... I'm going to say the Bills won the toss.
Correct. Super Bowl 35.
All right. Super Bowl 35, the one that we try to forget. The one that, in fact, I was at. The Giants won the toss because I got very excited in that moment. Yes.
Correct. Super Bowl 42.
Super Bowl 42, New England won the toss.
Incorrect.
Oh, it was 40. Then 46, New England won the toss.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. So what's 4-1.
Your call is heads.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. I mean, okay. It's
4 out of 5 is pretty good.
Single questions.
It's a good. No, see, there you go. Yeah.
Rick.
I'm with Dave.
You hate me.
I'm with Dave. That was not your greatest foray into Stump Rothenberg.
But when it's Giants related, to ask who won the toss in all 5 of their Super Bowl appearances, that's not outlandish. Not when
it's supposed to be single questions. You went with a 5-parter
on your easiest topic.
Who won the toss of the coin?
Of the Super Bowls? I didn't ask you the NFC Championship game or Week 6.
All right, are we done, RJ, or can we take one more to try to salvage this?
2 days after a regular season loss.
I mean, Canty doesn't even participate, and you were worse than him.
Whatever.
I'm going to take one more.
This is getting ugly.
Let's go to Rick in Sunnyside. Rick, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. How are you this morning?
Well, I was better before that. Gross question.
Yeah, Colin, you can't let that guy ask questions anymore. It's not his forte.
I know.
Here's my question.
I don't think it'll be a problem.
Only one player has hit 3 home runs in a game against the same pitcher twice. Name both players.
But my question's outlandish.
Watch, he'll get this one.
No, I don't know about that. Same
pitcher. It's a tough one.
Twice.
But they are definitely 2 names. Like, you know, you'd know who they are. Big time.
Paul O'Neill, Mel Rojas.
They're big time players?
Yeah, yeah. You definitely know who they are. Yeah. In our lifetime. I'm about your age.
I wonder if it's Vlad Guerrero. I don't know. I'm just going to be wasting time here. I'll guess Vlad Guerrero, but I don't... No, in fact, I don't think he ever hit 3, because they made a whole big thing about his son hit 3, and he never did. I'll go with, Miguel Cabrera.
The king is dead. No, Johnny Bench did it twice off with Steve Carlton.
Oh,
wow.
Carlton. I wish we could continue because I don't like to end on a.
I mean, this has been a rough go.
I don't think it's been a rough go. Yeah. Carlin brought the whole thing down.
I am too smart.
Carlin brought the whole thing down. RJ, can we take one more? Or do we have to go?
No, because we have to make Dave feel better.
He says, "You know what, Carlin? You're never welcome on the show again."
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.